In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. We enter now, brothers and sisters, into the home stretch of the great Lenten journey, the Lenten pilgrimage. It is the fifth Sunday of Lent, beginning the sixth and final week of the fast. In some of the books, this week coming is called Palm Week. Palm Week. In the liturgical text, turn our attention towards Bethany and the death and burial of Lazarus, and then, of course, towards Jerusalem in anticipation of Christ's triumphal entrance into the holy city. Yes, next Sunday in the Orthodox Church is not Easter, but Palm Sunday, and then comes Holy Week. Yes, two more weeks of fasting, but Holy Week is unique to itself. If we could say that Holy Week is dedicated to the Lord, to his confrontation with evil, to his trial and suffering, his death and resurrection, and to say that Holy Week is for the Lord, is for us to remember and honor all that he has done for us, then the 6 weeks of Great Lent are for us. The 6 weeks of Great Lent are for our benefit, for our blessing, for us to get our house in order, which you can see has literally included this house, getting it ready, getting it in order, and accomplished with no small miracle this week, believe me, and no small human effort, for which we give all glory and honor to our Lord God for his grace and strength that he gave to us, and also gratitude and admiration for the human hands and human generosity to bring us to this level of preparation of God's temple. And you know, it is very exhausting watching people work so hard. It really is. How tiring that can be. But the time of Great Lent has been for us to prepare the temple of our heart and soul to receive Christ. As we sing Pascha Night, let us purify our senses and we shall see Christ shining in the light of his resurrection. Let us purify our senses. Why? Why? Why purify our senses? Why is that necessary? Because we are captivated typically by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, as St. John the theologian identifies it for us so perfectly. The reason why the monks and nuns are covered up in their monastic vesture, and why the visitors to traditional monasteries are also asked to cover up, and why we ask women in the churches to wear dresses in church, and for all to dress modestly, is that we might minimize distraction from that which always distracts us. That we might better focus on the one thing needful, on the gospel and the word of God, and on life in the kingdom of God. That we would rise above the earthly and lift our eyes to heaven, even if for a short, fleeting interval of our brief moments in the house of God. We are given today and this past week the image of two Marys, of the Most Holy Theotokos and Ever Virgin Mary, and of our Venerable Mother, St. Mary of Egypt. We celebrated the glorious Feast of the Annunciation and the Feast of the Akathist to the Theotokos Friday evening. We also revisited the great canon of St. Andrew and read again the life of St. Mary of Egypt. We have been abundantly blessed and anointed with great and holy hymns of wisdom and grace this past week. And we are left speechless to say more about she who is full of grace. The Church has said it all. We are likewise filled with awe at the dramatic repentance and transformation of our Holy Mother Mary, St. Mary of Egypt. Lust held her back from entering the church in Jerusalem. She could not enter the church. Profound repentance opened to her the doors, not only of the church, but of heaven. We sung about her. She who once through evil lust led many into wickedness shines now in her sanctity as the sun and has become a heavenly guide for all who sin. She took many men prisoner through the baited hook of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, making them food for the devil by short-lived sensual pleasure. And now she herself is taken prisoner indeed, but by the divine grace of the Holy Cross, she has been brought as a sweet spiritual offering to Christ. St. Mary was able to change. So are we able. So are we able. If she can change, we can change. Mary had lowered herself to great sin, great self-debasement, debauchery, the worst of the worst. But then she lowered herself in her flesh to great repentance, to great self-humbling, self-emptying. She who was totally of the world had to escape the world, and she turned all the way to God, all the way. And if the lust of the flesh is not your problem, glory to God for that. There are other indulgences that hold us back from deeper communion with God. The preoccupation with luxury, with comfortable living, with food and drink and fine clothing. The lust for gossip, for judgmental attitudes and idle talk. The lust of power, as we say in the prayer of St. Ephrem. What is that? The lust of power. The lust for power to tell everybody just what we think and how they should agree with us. The lust of the power of our opinions. Brothers and sisters, there are many roads to self-pleasure. There are many roads to self-satisfaction and of the indulgence of our ego beyond just the basely fleshly. And there is only one road that leads to heaven, and that is the road of humility, of humbling ourselves, and of repentance. St. Mary had power over men. She certainly did. But she had no power against angels who blocked the entrance to the church. She had no power to win over God with that way of life until she changed her way. And then, because she wanted to change, God changed her. And then, because she wanted to change, God could change her. But she wanted to. Up until that moment, she didn't want to. The straight teaching on repentance is, if you want to change, if you want to do the work of change, God will change you. If you want to do the work of change, God will change you. But if instead you just want what you want, if you just want what you want, whatever worldly want that is, then you won't change. You won't change. You won't repent. You won't enter the kingdom of heaven. How helpful it would be to all of us if, like St. Mary, some invisible force would block us from entering God's house each time we had gone too far in sin and are unworthy. We'd have to have our services in the parking lot. People would say, they've got the building, what are they doing out in the parking lot every week? But a merciful Lord allows us entrance to his holy church, to this beautiful church, and to the table of confession. The table of confession that opens the door again to heaven, the second baptism, as the fathers call it. And he gives us prayer in his holy name. Elder St. Joseph the Hesychast said, against impure thoughts, use the spiritual sword, the name of Jesus. Against impure thoughts, use the spiritual sword, the name of Jesus. The Jesus prayer against impure thoughts. The elder said, you must offer repentance to the Lord, and you must not hide anything from your spiritual father. Wounds that are exposed are quickly healed. Brothers and sisters, finally, the time to repent, to turn our minds around, which is the meaning of repentance, to turn our minds around, the time is growing short. But there's still time. There's still time. We run this week towards the tomb of Lazarus and the greeting of Christ in Jerusalem. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgives sins also?" We know who he is. We should know who he is. We should want to know who he is. Who is he to you? That's the other side of repentance. When we run away from our sins, we are running to something, or rather, to someone, to him, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ.